Well, hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, with a fun panel of roundtable folks this week to talk about taking risks and the benefits and maybe some of the drawbacks of taking risks. Stay tuned for the rest of this show. In our inbox, we are going to be talking to someone who is trying to make friends and basically has kind of put herself out there but is having difficulties. So, you know, you can get people to do things with you, but do they reciprocate, and what does it really look like to make some good lasting friendships? And then our culture segment this week is with financial planner and analyst Amy Streeter. She's an expert and an author of a brand new book that is now out, and she's going to help us navigate what some of those money pitfalls are that we all have to wade through even as young adults. So, but first, let me go ahead and tell you who our podcast sponsor for this week is. It is the Connection Plus Toolbar. You can pull up Focus on the Family content, including The Boundless Show, using this toolbar, and it is very fast. For more information or to download the free toolbar, visit focusonthefamily.cvn.org. Okay, well, let me go ahead and introduce who we have on the show today. We have Martha. Hey, Martha.
Hello.
Hi, good to have you here. With
it's
a fun
like
necklace.
My sixth show or something?
I know.
I don't know.
Just like a regular now. That's good. She's just an expert. So we also have Matthew John. Matthew, welcome.
Hello again.
Back. Matthew, we know, is one of our great bloggers who needs to blog some more for us. But his life's getting in the way. He has so much going on.
So popular.
I know. No. You are. One of our bloggers, also working with Campus Crusade and very busy finishing up some schooling.
Yes.
Many things going on with him. Very privileged to have Chelsea Municki back in the studio with us. Chelsea, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yay. Also one of our bloggers.
Who also needs to write more.
Our college perspective. So she's finishing up her last year at Dort College in Iowa.
Couple months
left. Going the long haul.
Yep.
So, and job hunting and seeing where God's going to take you next. So I'm sure you have some things to say about risk.
Yes, definitely.
So very exciting. And then Jen Mesko is with us. Jen, welcome.
Thank you. I guess I'm the only first-time guest here, so.
But you're not really a first-time guest because you interviewed Michael W. Smith for us, remember? She is trying
takes
to
takes me back.
She,
yes,
it does. She was a co-interviewer. She had to step in with Sarah Woodard when I was sick and unable to talk to Smitty, and so Jen and Sarah valiantly
did that.
Bad day
to be sick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, next time that happens, please call me up. So
okay, okay, and we'll find other people to step in. It's not like it was Bill Gaither. I mean, if it was Bill Gaither, I would have like wheeled in on a gurney and just been like, "Bill, tell me about your career," you know. But Michael W. Smith, I was like, "Hey, you know, these ladies can take it."
Small potatoes.
Whoa, yeah. Jen is the editor of Citizen Link, which is our online, basically our site within our public policy arm here at Focus on the Family, citizenlink.org, and writes all the latest news briefs about what's going on Capitol Hill and beyond. So very fast-paced job.
Exciting
stuff.
Yes, it is.
So make sure you check that out, as well as, I mean, we talk about Rising Voice here as well. So they kind of get to work in the same sphere. So, all right, well, we are going to talk about taking risks. Some of us maybe are more natural risk takers than others. Some people get risks forced upon them, or maybe it's not a risk if it's just forced upon you. All of a sudden life just happens to you and you're like freaked out. So I want you guys to just jump in and talk briefly about when you hear the word risk, or you think that there's some element of risk that you need to take in your life, or you need to move somewhere out of your comfort zone with where you are, what kind of feelings does that elicit in you?
Well, I tend to be a very methodical person. I'll weigh the pros and cons for days and days and days before making a decision or jumping into something. But I also have moments of spurts of, holy cow, I gotta do that. Of, I've always wanted to be on The Price is Right. So I would have no problem going up on stage and be that crazy person. Other people would be totally freaked out by that and would never go for it. So I have moments.
Yeah, okay. But generally, your pattern is more to plan ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Happening. Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely that way too. I would say, I mean, generally speaking, my natural bent is to be risk averse, generally. But at the same time, you kind of know that you're going to end up taking that step. It just seems like I kind of have to get pushed up to the edge of the cliff and just look over for a long time. And then eventually, I know I'm going to jump, but yeah, that usually takes a lot of thinking and a lot of, like Martha said, a lot of deliberating. But then in the end, I've kind of, you know all along that that's kind of the step you're going to take. So mm-hmm. I don't know why that risk aversion is there, but it is. So,
All right.
Go ahead.
Speaking of jumping off the cliff, when I think risk, I think bungee jumping or skydiving, whitewater rafting. And when you asked me to talk about it today, I had no idea what you were talking about because the decisions I make in my life, I just don't think of them as risky.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Chelsea,
I would say I'm different than the other two. I just do things. Like, I don't deliberate much or think much sometimes, and that's probably a bad thing. I like risks, so I kind of go with it. I think sometimes if I spend too much time thinking about it, then I end up not doing it. So I guess that's maybe more my inclination is just to do things.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I'm definitely in the same camp you are.
Yes.
I tend to be. In fact, I was telling someone the other day that when I took this job at Focus, it was the first time I'd ever moved anywhere with a job. I was the type of person that would load up my car, move somewhere. Hey, I heard this is a great place. Maybe I'll just go there. And it was a very sad day for me, actually, when I bought a home and realized that I now have stuff
to stay.
That I will no longer move in my car and stuff. So that was kind of an interesting dynamic. But I think it's an important topic to talk about because especially for young adults, we're in this season of transition that really there's a lot of life that happens between 18 into your early 30s probably. And it's, you know, we talk about that here on Boundless. It involves career, it involves faith, it involves worldview, it involves relationships. And there are many landmark decisions that you can and probably should in some instances make during this stage of your life. Do you guys ever look at any of those, like with any of those categories, and just say to yourself, it's overwhelming, or how can I put all this together and possibly even keep my life together with the many decisions to be made?
Yeah, I feel like that way now with only 2 months left of college. It's like within this semester, I feel like I have the most important decisions of my life to make. It's like, you know, where am I going to go from here? Where should I look for a job? Should I go to grad school? Where do you even start?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's a very risky time of life, yeah. If you might.
Well, and you're in a relationship, so you have to worry about that.
Yeah,
you
and know. That was a
not
risk, too.
Not that he's
too.
Like a ball and chain. But
well, you know.
Worry being an operative
it's
term.
Kind of like, you know, is this thing moving forward? What does that mean? Because
yeah.
You might move elsewhere.
Yeah. Exactly. And just like looking at that, if you are ready or willing to do a long distance or, you know, just weighing what God has put in your life and if that is a risk that you should take or sticking where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I remember my senior year of high school, I remember saying to a few people, I find it ironic that God asks us to make these decisions, like where we're going to go to school, what we're going to study, now when we're 18, when we don't have the maturity to make the decision in the first place. But since then, while I do worry about, like, you know, what should I do, I don't necessarily have this plan that I'm trying to, you know, accomplish. So it's kind of like, well, okay, do I go to grad school or do I join Campus Crusade? Eventually both of those happen, but you know, I don't really worry anymore. Am I making the right choice in God's eyes? Am I taking the right risk? But more like, is this risk going to, I don't know, cause me undue suffering or something like that, you know, because mm-hmm. I assume God wants to teach me through suffering. So mm-hmm. So I don't have a plan that I'm trying to accomplish anymore. I think God's kind of disabused me of that. So it's not a risk so much in like, oh, am I going to subvert God's plan? But more just, is this the best thing that I could be doing? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I like that. I was actually talking with my boss the other day, and I hope I get this right, because I think he was telling me about a guy who was batting around this idea with him and saying, you know, when you make these kinds of decisions, you look to avoid the crazy making conundrum of, can I be out of God's will and that whole thing. And he said, you know, what's prohibited in Scripture? And there are really mm-hmm. very few things that in the scope of this thing are going to be flat out prohibited
right.
that would, you know, and so look at those things and then realize that opens up a whole, you know, paradigm or a whole chasm of things that would be possibilities that you could do. And so within that, you have the freedom to move, which mm-hmm. I think is kind of cool.
It's interesting to me of just hearing all of you guys of how we interchange risk and decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just comes down to making a decision of feels risky, but I think it's scary because mm-hmm. what is going to be the outcome or what are people going to think? And that can definitely be what stops us from making a decision.
Yeah. So let's kind of launch into a couple stories here. What would you guys say from your own lives have been examples of situations where you really felt you were having to step out with maybe some variables or maybe something that you didn't have the full picture scripted out for you and you were going to have to make a decision and go with it?
Well, what Martha was saying about decision making, that's what I kind of consider what I tend to do. I think about something for a long time. I research it, get everyone's opinions, and so I don't consider that a risk. But there was one instance in college. I was finishing up my junior year journalism major, and any journalism majors out there will know you need internships. That's the bottom line. Finishing up my junior year, no internships in sight. One of my professors grabbed me after class and said, you know, there's an internship nearby. You can start in a few weeks, but you need to, he wants you to know this design program. And I said, I don't know the design program. And she said, well, can you learn it by then? And I said, yes, because I needed the internship.
Good for you.
And I did learn the design program and did great in the internship and got a job out of college through that. But to me, that was more risky than buying a house or getting a different car or anything like that, because it was a momentary decision that I had to make.
Yeah, that's true. It's good.
I think a big risk just recently was joining the Boundless team. I have a journalism background as well. Well, I've always done like print journalism, so to do something that's totally online, it was like, well, this could be a great strength builder opportunity. That's ultimately why I thought, you know, this is good, of thinking long term. Mm-hmm. But it was scary of, I've never done this before. I don't have a proven track record of really know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I would say the biggest risk I can, up to that point anyway, was choosing to go on a summer project, like a summer missions trip with Campus Crusade. It was between my junior and senior years at Kansas State, and I'd been wanting to actually to go on a summer project. I was planning to go to Vail, and then one of the
that is not a risk,
right? Well, yeah, especially because I'd worked at Estes Park at a camp the summer before. I'm like, I love Colorado.
Okay, but continue.
Tough
we'll,
time. Yeah.
We'll try to
well,
believe you.
And I know this next thing probably isn't going to sound much like much of a risk either, but there was an all-guys summer project in Juneau, Alaska. Mm. Again, you know, Crimea River, you have to go to Juneau, Alaska for the summer. but I did not want to go to that one. I just didn't like the idea of it for whatever reason. I really didn't want to be on an all-guys summer project. I was like, that. I just think that'll be a little bit ridiculous.
I think we should join girls.
Yeah.
They actually have a girls' summer project with her now, so it's pretty sweet. But one of the staff guys there at K-State with Campus Crusade said, hey, you know, I see you're filling out the application, and where are you going? And I was like, oh, I think I might go to Vail. And he's like, you should come to Juneau. And I was like, And right at that moment, I kind of felt the Holy Spirit say, you know, in as much as any of us hear God speak, you know, wouldn't it be awesome to spend a summer in Alaska and to be able to tell stories from a summer in Alaska? And I thought, yeah. And then he was like, don't you think like spending a summer with a bunch of guys would be really good for you? And I was like, yeah, I suppose so. And so right then I switched my options from Vail to Juneau. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, I'm going back for the fifth time this summer with Campus Crusade. Mm-hmm. So that risk really has turned into something that's just been incredibly life-giving for me throughout the last, gosh, like 8 years, 7 years now. So it's pretty crazy.
That's pretty cool.
I think one of the biggest risks I took was I transferred colleges after my freshman year to be a little bit closer to home, but still always had that desire to study abroad. And I kept pushing it out of my mind. I got into a relationship and got really good friends, and the thought of leaving for a whole semester just seemed like really daunting, and you miss out on so much, and I'm kind of a social butterfly, so I don't want to do that. But one day I had a lady come up to me and she said, you have one more day to sign up. So I signed up and I ended up studying abroad in the Netherlands last year from January to May. Definitely one of the best decisions of my life, and it was kind of one of those things where you just step out and do it, and it was very scary. I'd never been out of the country before, never been that far away from my family, and yeah, ended up being just something really amazing. So at times those risks, I think, can really bring you to the next level of your life, or like they take you out of your comfort zone to the extreme for such a good reason, because it makes you see life from a different perspective. Even just like being in Juneau or whatever we're all just talking about, it's just like takes you out of what you're used to and makes you use different parts of your personality and to really rely on God in situations where you're not used to being, in a sense.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting how we've all kind of shared how sometimes you only have a few minutes to make a decision that can really affect years of your life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it is, like Matthew said, you know, so many of these decisions are being made by people that don't really have the life experience under our belts to be wisely really assessing many things that are, which is why good godly counsel is helpful. I think probably mine is, although actually, I mean, mine is just, I have a whole laundry list, I think, of ones I could go through, because I think the times that I haven't taken risks in my life are probably shorter and fewer and far between. But one was in college, in between my sophomore and junior years. They gave, at the end of the school year, I went to a Christian college, and they gave these sheets out that asked you how you wanted to be involved in chapel. And you could sing, or you could read scripture, or pray, or whatever, because they had student-led chapels and different elements where they would incorporate students.
Was flute playing
and when
on one of the checkboxes?
It was, but yeah, I had definitely played my flute up at that point. But so one of the boxes was speak in chapel. And by speaking in chapel, you were the speaker. And it was not like a little impromptu, whatever. You spoke for like 30 to 40 minutes. Wow. And I remember checking the box and saying to myself, you know, I don't know if there's anything that I would share or anything I have to share, but I'm sure they're going to have some kind of informational meeting about this. So I'm going to check it and just see what's up, you know, keep my
assume
options open.
Go.
Tomorrow you can speak.
And
tomorrow.
So that summer I went home and I got a letter and it said, your chapel date is October 16th. And I just like flipped out. I was like, what in the world? And so I picked up the phone to call and say, there's been a mistake. I thought this was just an inquiry. But I decided to go through with it and spoke that fall. And eventually became the student chapel coordinator and spoke two more times in chapel.
And here you are today.
And it's kind of like, that was really the turning point for me to realize that I actually can speak in front of people. Because I had never, you know, it's not that I wasn't outgoing or talkative or whatever, but I had never thought that I, one, had anything to say, or two, that I could present it in a way that was helpful or do it without completely imploding. So it was very fearful, a fearful thing for me. And but yeah, I think ultimately a good thing. So, and interesting just how it has come about that way, and many other things, you know, where my strength and weakness is probably agreeing that I can do things that I'm not really sure I can do. I'm just like, someone will say, yeah, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, probably, you know, whatever, I'll do it. And it's something crazy. And then you know, I've probably lost years off of my life from agreeing to do certain things. And one of my first, less than a year after I started here, took over, my boss had left, and I took over that team in PR, and I was the youngest person on the team, and I was like, yeah, I can do this job, and I'd never managed anyone before, I didn't know what I was talking about, but, you know, just stepped into that, so kind of some craziness on that front. But have you guys ever had, so let's talk about risk as far as, now when you look back on these situations, decisions that you've made, ways that you've stepped out, what really has changed in your life? Like, how are you different, either, you know, yourself different, or really your circumstances different, as far as ways that you could say, you know, okay, had I done it differently, I probably would be heading down this path, but now I'm heading down this path, and I really see it in retrospect as something that's good.
Had I not studied abroad, it is interesting to, like, think where I would be, but where it has taken me from there, I've learned so much, and I found things I was interested in by doing that, and I grew as a person, I grew in my spiritual life. While I was there, my computer broke down, so I had like no contact with home, so it just really like stretched me to be able to take risks by relying on God, instead of like okaying it with my family, okaying things with my friends, but making those decisions on my own with God's guidance. So I really see how that impacted me in the decisions that I make now, is being able to do it a little bit more independently, instead of relying on, like, you know, your comfortable circle of people that are going to help you out with things like that. And I see just like career, the way it's leading me, like more of like international interests and like understanding ministry in a different way and seeing that God's needed in other places, like a more broad understanding of Europe in that sense, and just seeing like hungry people there and here in a sense of people that need God. Mm-hmm. So that's, I great. See how it leads me now.
You were mentioning your checklist that you chose chapel speaker. Going back to journalism school for a second, I transferred from a community college partway through my college career. And while I was filling out the application for Michigan State, go Spartans, it said that if you had this many number of credits, you had to choose a major. Hmm. And I did not have a major, and I did have that many number of credits. So I'm going through the checklist, no, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, for sure not that. And journalism was there, and I was like, yeah, I could do that. Check the box, just because I had to apply and I had to choose a major. And obviously that's been a defining choice in my life just from the checklist.
That's cool.
I feel like a lot of the risks or decisions that I made in the past, I haven't seen the fruit of it yet. But I know I believe in the value of taking risks and like just stretching myself and hoping that one day that will pay off. But I think I'm in a waiting period right now just to see how that turns out.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like going to Alaska was, I mean, it just makes me, it has made me more adventurous. Just kind of, you know, on that project, we kind of have this assume and go kind of attitude, and it's really good for someone like me who's like, okay, let's plan this all out and let's think of the risks first, you know. But additionally, like I think of, you know, I mean, having worked at Focus twice, having been let go twice, I can see God telling, or you know, saying like ministry is a good thing for you, but I want you out in the world, you know. And so now I'm in grad school, you know, I'm part-time and work with Campus Crusade part-time. And really, as Martha was saying, you don't necessarily see positive fruit right away. And a lot of the fruit that I see right now is kind of this wondering or thinking, you know, here I am, my job is to tell students, other students about the gospel and to disciple students and do Bible study with them. And yet my being in grad school causes me to doubt quite a bit, you know? And so I feel like I've been kind of forced out, you know, into the world, kicked out of the nest and into a world of a lot of doubt and questioning. I mean, that's just what is in the academy. And so while I'm taking this risk of working for Campus Crusade, I also have all these doubts a lot of the time too. But I just have to continue moving forward despite the doubts, knowing that this is God's calling, or believing that this is God's calling for my life, and just knowing that there's going to be that tension there, and kind of it's uncomfortable a lot of the time, that tension. But just moving forward despite it, and you know, looking forward to seeing fruit as you know, fruit that feels good insofar as like seeing students come to Christ or developing relationships with my fellow grad students. So right now, because of the current risk, there's a lot of tension.
Yeah.
But it's not bad though.
Yeah. So did you, just in looking back on that story then, have there been times where you've thought either because of your current doubts or because of your story, you know, looking back and saying, okay, I was laid off from Focus twice. Was I really supposed to be at Focus in the first place? I mean, how do you reconcile?
Right.
I mean, that's just kind of weird, you know, because a lot of people think that unless they have this very even path, it means that somehow something was messed up.
You know, it's funny. That really hasn't, I've joked about that with friends, but I've never doubted that. I've never doubted that I was supposed to be at Focus for the two different jobs that I had. And I've really seen how God kind of has shown me, okay, I want you to do ministry, but I also want you to be in academics, you know, and to kind of have a foot in each of those worlds. And I was able to do that in both of my jobs here at Focus. And so I've seen God grow me in those ways, and also just the fact that I've had to you know, take a step and you know, get out of bed each morning after, you know, after a layoff. And I think God has used that to make me see that, you know what, like, you're not going to be, your identity isn't going to be based on your job or even a career, a steady career path. It's not going to be based on a paycheck. And so I just feel like, you know, I think it's in John 15 where Jesus is talking about pruning the branches. Like, I just feel like that's what it is. And so as stressful as it's been, I'm strangely, in a very strange way, when I'm recounting it like this, I'm really thankful for it, because I can see, it helps me to believe that God is using me now and has been active throughout the whole story. So I think I was supposed to be here at Focus two different times, you know?
Yeah. And one thing leads to the next.
Yeah. And one thing totally leads to the next. And like, I'd always wanted to go to grad school, and then the opportunity came because I was laid off. You know, again, that was a risk I probably wasn't going to take. You know, I needed to be forced out of the job I was in, even though it was a great job. And I look back on it with kind of these rose-colored glasses, but thinking that was, you know, the time of my life. But at the same time, I wouldn't give up what I've learned in grad school and the relationships I have through that you know, for the world. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Have any of you guys ever taken relationship risks? Anything in that sphere?
I just have to jump in right there, but people will tell me, oh, that was really risky. Oh, that was risky. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like when we talked the other day, Lisa, and specifically that always comes up, like if you go on a blind date or you meet someone online and you have coffee with them and people are like, well, aren't you scared about going into Starbucks and meeting someone for coffee? I mean, what if they're a serial killer? And I'm like, well, anyone in Starbucks on any day of the week could be a serial killer. Are you terrified every day when you get your coffee? Mm-hmm. So to me, obviously you want to be safe, but I don't really understand when people freak out about perfectly safe situations.
Yeah.
You seem very level-headed. I, on the other hand, I mean, I had my little stint of online dating, I'll say, but that was very risky. Like, I felt like I was really putting myself out there and who knows what would happen, or I mean, not in the sense I'd get killed, but just like, what are they going to think of me, or I don't know.
Well, and it hasn't exactly worked out for me, but you know, it's still worth it. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, you know, what those risks have produced in your life. So when I took that risk to study abroad, I took the risk of leaving that relationship, and it ended while I was gone. So then it was coming back to that and trying to mend it and decide to take the risk to take it up again and to try again, to give it another chance. So, you know, we talk about if we that's really where God wanted us, because I remember thinking that at the time when I was gone, it was like, was studying abroad worth ending this relationship? But I see now how, you know, God used all those steps in that process to mature me, to strengthen me, to be in that relationship for a second time, to try it again as a stronger person, you know, closer to the Lord, and being able to embark on a relationship together, having had a little bit of space and time to mature. So I would never think that, you know, going abroad was a bad decision because it ended the relationship, but instead seeing the process of, like, you know, God really using that time to strengthen me, and then being able to, you know, just being humble and be like, let's try it again, and, you know, use that encouragement from others and the strength that God gave to learn in that time of doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely too, you know, as I think about it, as you get older, there's much more of a risk in being in relationship, because what you're used to is your pattern and what you're used to. I mean, when I was in college, I probably wouldn't have thought anything of it because I didn't think of myself as single. I thought of myself as in college. You know, it wasn't the same thing in my head. And so to assume that in a very short period of time I would be dating and or married, whatever, wasn't a big deal for me. Now when I look at it, it's like, it really is what in my life would change and what would I give up? And there's probably a lot, probably some of which I don't even acknowledge. And I definitely have guy friends who in their 30s or even some in their 40s who got married, and it was really a huge change for them. And to say, you know, God, why would I be single this whole chunk of my life, to now enter marriage, you know, and a couple of them married like single moms, you know, and to take that on and to take on someone else's kids and realize that I'm completely going to transform my story and it's going to be totally different. I think that's pretty big. But do you guys ever look at someone else's life, maybe someone who has taken a lot of risks, and say, I wish I was that person, or I wish all those exciting opportunities that they have, or because they're this amazing person who's willing to take all these risks?
I never want to do that. So I feel like I am that person to myself. Okay. Like, because I have friends that always say that, like, I wish I could do that. And so I'm always just like, you can just do it. So
sometimes I view those people as impulsive.
Yeah, no, that would be me.
You know, like, it freaks me out a little bit. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. So I don't necessarily hold them up as role models.
But yeah, I don't.
The outcome of it, you know, can definitely be jealous of that.
I would see it more as a personality issue, where I hold people up like, wow, their personality is so fun. Wow, they can just do anything at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily see them as, wow, they take a lot of risks, because I would see that as negative.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I envy the other side of it. It's like, I wish I was more level-headed and like took more time to make decisions, because sometimes those impulse decisions don't result in such, you know, awesome rewards. So I think it's good to find like a happy medium or a level spot.
I definitely think of, like, you know, particular authors or thinkers that I really admire and think to myself, you know, how could I become that, you know, how could I do that? And I think, I don't know, for me, part of me is afraid that I'm idolizing kind of the fame that they have. And so I kind of take a step back and say, okay, I don't need to worry about being popular like they are. But I don't take the risk that it takes to get where they are, because like that road is unknown. And I tend to, on the other side of the spectrum, on the other swing of the pendulum, I idolize like understanding. Mm-hmm. And if I don't understand how I'm going to get there, I don't want to go there. I definitely in one instance I'll be like, oh, well, I don't want that much attention. You know, that would be bad for me. And yet I don't want to take the risks that they've taken. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of, I don't know how to find that balance, or I should say, it's not I don't know how to find it. It's tricky looking for that balance of taking the risk, but then also doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. I think it is different too, because you think to yourself when you're thinking of certain authors, okay, am I really willing to? Maybe one of them packed all his belongings in a van and drove across mm-hmm. the U.S. and then wrote about it. Or, you know, what's her name who cooked out of Julia Child's cookbook for an entire year and wrote about it. You're like, who thinks of these things? Mm-hmm. And then you think of like the C.S. Lewis's that were like, here's a guy who sat in the kilns, occasionally went to a pub, and then wrote all this craziness, having not, you know, traveled much in his entire life. And so it's just, I think both of those are kind of daunting mm-hmm. things. You think, wow, you either have this amazing imagination or you have these amazing experiences, and mm-hmm. kind of puts it out there a little bit. But I would agree with you, Chelsea, that I am very much, and I think this is kind of an aspect of the risk taker, is I've taken so many risks in my life that I was the hamster in the wheel for quite a while. And it was like I was always onto something new, never sure of the next thing. Very, you know, would get very frazzled at never being in a state of rest. And now I've had a good stretch of time where I've had the same job, I've lived in the same house, and it's kind of a comforting thing. I think we have to realize that, sure, it may be great to stretch yourself and be out there and do a bunch of different things and be willing to step up to the plate and say, I can do this and I'm going to venture into the unknown. But sometimes it's good to just rest too and to reflect, mm-hmm. you know, where you are, because you can't live an entire life on the frenzy of adrenaline. And
yeah, I'm not ready for that. Like I tell my sister-in-law, I'm ready for curtains. Like I want to like stay in one place for more than 3 months and like make a good church decision, a place to stay, have friends, a church family. So
that's good. A good book title. Yeah. I'm ready for curtains.
Yeah.
but speaking of world famous authors, I'm trying to write a book. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, sometimes risks aren't good, and sometimes risks don't work out, or you don't get the second chance with the boyfriend. You know, I've sent my book proposal to every book publisher that I've ever heard of, mm-hmm. and haven't made any progress on that so far. And you know, it's hard because it's like, okay, I took all the risks, I did everything I was supposed to do, I take everyone's advice, and nothing. Mm-hmm. So you know, like Martha was saying, sometimes it's just wait mm-hmm. and see how it's going to work out.
Yeah. And not feel like just because you are in a period of waiting it means you have to go blaze yourself away and take more risks, or just be, you know, spin out of control. You know, no one needs that. So, well, very cool, you guys. I think this has been a good discussion, and obviously, even helpful for me as I've thought about it. I was like, wow, you know, because I'm always this goal setter. Every year I have to like set some goals, and I have to make sure that, you know, I've achieved XYZ. But I think there's a good argument for, you know, doing what God calls you to do. And sometimes it is very stretching, and sometimes he'll throw you in there if you're not moving along quickly enough. But sometimes it's good to just step back and rest too, and learn from where you are from staying put. So, well, good. Hopefully we'll get some good insights. Folks out there, write to us, editor@boundless.org. And then stay tuned now for our culture segment, which is going to talk about the whole issue of money and risk taking in that. And one of the chapters is specifically on being risky with your money, and when is it good and when isn't it. So more risks to come. So thanks, you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.